wide down the backstretch, car side by side, three wide, headed into the checkers. Who's it going to be? Now it's time for the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's going on, boys and girls? Y'all know what time it is. 3Wide, EG3 NASCAR Podcast on the airwaves. Hello, everyone. Welcome into another edition, the post-race edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR to the Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And boys and girls, y'all, everybody's officially in postseason mode. That's right, after the Xfinity Series race over the weekend in Vegas, all three divisions are in playoff mode, and of course the trucks are off once again after a wild event Friday night in Vegas as well. We'll get into that with Mick Rose, who will be joining us in the second half of the show. Tuesday, September 18th, 2018, on this Tuesday night. Glad to be on air with you guys once again after it's been quite a while. A lot's been happening, and I'll talk about that. Obviously, I'll talk about the Ohio trip up to run the half marathon, and boy, that was a good time. I'll get into that the final part of the show, and all obviously EG3 helmet series as well. But you know how we do it on this podcast. Let's get right on down to business. We got so much to get to in so much little time. Fresh from the press, let's get down to it. Big D also with me across the glass as well tonight as well. Thank you for being here tonight on this Tuesday. Silly season. We're going to start off with that. I know playoffs just started, but we're going to do it a little bit differently tonight. Silly season, like I've been saying on this podcast here in the last few weeks, in full swing. And again, more dominoes have starting to fall into place. Trevor Bayne getting the boot from that sixth car after season's end. Obviously, the change was made only not even halfway through the season, where Bayne's performance sucked and Matt Kenseth was called upon to try to get things figured out. And duly noted that Indy race that Matt Kenseth took a part of a few weeks ago, showing that strength. Obviously, Kenseth knows how to get around Indianapolis, but that was the best race to me, in my opinion, by far this year. And finally, Jack Roush saying, "So long, Trevor Bayne." Again, folks, Bayne is a former Daytona 500 winner, and he's going to get the boot. And now questions really arise. Of course, Elliott Sadler not racing. This is going to back to the Xfinity Series. He would not return to the one car. He's calling it quits after season's end, hanging it up. And then another domino fell into the NASCAR lap, if you will. Ryan Newman decided after, I believe it was final practice, that he says that he's not coming back to RCR. Of course, on this podcast, the Xfinity Series program or RCR is way better right now than the Cup program right now. I don't know what it is about this Cup program. It seems not to be fully recovered from Kevin Harvick, Jeff Burton, Clint Bowyer back in those days, when they had that squad, even though they did not win the championship with Kevin Harvick back in those days. But this team, even with the new pieces that fall into place here, actually started last year, late last year, into this year, still behind the sticks when it comes to trying to compete with the big dogs in the Marshall Energy NASCAR Cup Series. So that opened the door for that 31. That door is open for that. The six ride's open. And we talked about McMurray as well last week on the post-race pod of Indy. McMurray not coming back, even though Ganassi wants him to race in Daytona 500. And then now on top of that, this was not mentioned on last week's episode of the post-race edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Ganassi also offered McMurray an advising role on the staff. So that's quite interesting enough for that. So the one car, obviously we knew that already by now. But two new rides have opened the door. The six, and for this has been going around for quite a while since the news broke. Everybody's saying that Newman's going to the six. And we're sure Ben going to go back to the Xfinity series. So, I mean, again, I'm going to wait and see for sure where pieces land. Obviously, the big news story, you know, with Truex and their team shutting its doors down at the end of the year. We all know that. Kurt Busch, there's been back and forth debate. Oh, Kurt Busch going to get nasty, Big D, whatnot. You have Kurt Busch coming back to Stuart Haas, all this other stuff. Kurt Busch in the latest episode, chapter of his situation, still not up front, nothing settled yet in that 41 camp. So, and given Kurt Busch's dramatic ending to Las Vegas, you know, getting into it, Michael McDowell, late after Kurt Busch has been in the top 10 in the first playoff race for majority of the afternoon. I'm going to jump into that here in a moment, but silly season is cracking, and there's going to be a lot of situations going on. There's also talk about Ryan Preece. Obviously, JT Doherty has a spot open. Allmendinger is getting the kick to the boot. So there's been rumblings. Cole Custer ain't ready. He ain't ready for that ride, not 41. He ain't even though he's been the consistent factor each week in the Xfinity series, he has not consistently won. And I can say the same thing for Daniel Hemric also, even though Daniel Hemric made his Cup debut at Richmond that we're going to hear, not me, but the series is going to, for their second playoff race in the Cup series and the beginning of the Xfinity series playoffs this weekend, as well with the Truck series off for another couple of weeks before their first elimination race at Dega, which has a whole other different situation. We'll get into that in the second half of tonight's podcast episode. But yeah, so silly season continues to be quite interesting in years, and kind of debates. It really kind of flipped the domino in this factor. Really is going to be on Kurt Busch and where Martin Truex Jr. is going to land. That's my personal opinion. You know, Cole Pearn made it known last week also that he is going to be sticking with Martin Truex Jr. Now the question is, where is this awesome driver crew chief duo is going to land? That's the question everybody's going to land, and I think the domino is going to start from there. I just think that at some point, I don't know when it is. I know both drivers, Kurt and Martin, are in the playoff mode right now, and we'll just have to see. But yeah, Newman, and I was getting caught up with PETM podcast episodes on the road today, and I agree with, I believe what Sharon has said, that Ryan Newman hasn't done squat since going over, you know, he lost his edge. He's long lost his edge and not running, you know. He's won a couple races, this and that, via strategy by Luke Lambert. And that's the other thing. You know, where's Luke Lambert going to go? The crew chief of the Ryan Newman situation. You know, Newman, they have improved, yes, but they have not up to RCR standards, obviously. And, you know, one program is up here, like Richard Childress Racing, and the Cup Series, is, even though Austin Dillon has still made the playoffs, and he it was all right, started from the back of the field in the opener and made his way, took advantage of some misfortune. A lot of drivers, Big T, had missed. I don't know what happened, and might as well just get on into it right now, the first quarter here. Keselowski's horseshoe, he found it. Most definitely at the right time. He must have been searching for it all year long until Darlington for some reason. And Keselowski and Paul Wolf know how to execute, and they have done that now for three straight weeks and three consecutive wins. And now on top of that, the playoff points for Keselowski starting to rise up. He has now 25 points. Brad Keselowski survives in overtime to win three consecutive races. And now on top of that, add on another milestone. Hands over Roger Penske's 500th career victory as a NASCAR owner. Unbelievable. And Keselowski gets a pass through to the next round. 3Wide NASCAR podcast is on the air with EG3. That is me speaking to you guys as usual every week here on this NASCAR podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Mick Rose will be on the air on the other side in the second half of the program. But Keselowski, his car was strong on the short run, and Martin Truex Jr.'s car was strong on the longer run. And for whatever doubts was answered, at least for this week, you know, the X factor again for that 78 squad, we know the story by now, has been answered at least for 1 week. But all year long, you know, the 78 squad has had top five cars to winning cars all year long. That is solidified all year long. But the bad luck, you know, but speaking of bad luck, the big three did, two-thirds of that big three had their issues, and Keselowski and Martin Truex Jr. did not. If that race goes green, tire way, Martin Truex Jr. wins, hands down. I mean, for those of you who don't know by now, I mean, yes, I'm a Truex fan, but he wins, hands down. But for whatever reason, when I went away from that TV, I had afternoon church to go to. I watched it pretty much up until the point that they started wrecking. Apparently, these guys got caught up in bad situations. Chase Elliott, and when McMurray had a tire going down, and then, of course, I caught most of this race. Harvick, the big one, though. Kevin Harvick coming in here. Kyle Busch loses a tire. And then Eric Jones, who had apparently a great car all weekend long, but he dropped like a rock when that green flag dropped. And that's one of the things that this is, everybody's upped their game a little bit. And that's what's the noise that I heard while I was in Iowa this weekend. Eric Jones being fast. He's, oh shit, Eric Jones going to be fast this weekend. And then all of a sudden, you know, when the green flag drops on the playoffs, Eric Jones went backwards, the wrong direction. At one point, Eric Jones was outside the top 10 and 11th. And then that's where Kevin Harvick, who dominated the race in March, found the wall, Las Vegas wall, yet again. And Harvick, of course, had his say on the mic. He was pissed off. And also, he blamed the tires for the accident. Well, all right, so again, you know, Harvick, you know, we know he's what season he's had this year. But on the flip side of that, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, he took another shot at Goodyear, which probably, obviously, y'all know Goodyear's probably mad at him for that again. But hey, it is what it is. You know, you're a professional NASCAR driver. Everyone wants to be in your shoes, winning races, leading laps, and have the opportunity to get to take the easy way, if you will, to get to Miami to be a part of that championship four yet again. And Harvick, of course, he caught Logano. Logano led early in the race, and Logano, he pretty much, you know, from outside, I think in my opinion, when you look at it, Penske, Blaney's kind of fallen off a little bit. You know, yes, he finished in the top five in this one, but that 12 seemed lost his magic a little bit from early in the year, but somehow that team found a way to finish in the top five. Keselowski showed some strong short speed there, and he was in the catbird seat. Once again, that pit crew of his coming up big. Once again, they have been on fire here in the last few weeks, and Logano showing some good speed right off the bat in this one, and all three Penske cars finishing the top five, but Logano's coming to life here. Blaney still, you know, lost some of that speed from he had earlier. Blaney still has some of that speed from what he had from early in the season. That's triple trouble there, but that 12 team still got a little work to do. But right now, you know, that horseshoe clearly in that number to camp. And again, when I left that TV screen with, I believe, 60-something laps to go, Martin Truex Jr. had caught the leaders there and passed them. And I really thought, oh man, things were looking really good until I left that TV set. And then all hell broke loose. Kurt Busch, over half the playoff drivers, had trouble in this one. Kyle Busch rallied back from a spin off the front grass. The difference, Denny Hamlin had more issues with the splitter. Difference was Kyle Busch had no damage somehow. Rallied back to finish in the top 10. More on Kyle Busch on the end of the show. And then you had Denny Hamlin digging the splitter, digging into the front grass. Front stretch grass, ending his day. And that leads to quarter number two, playoff contenders nightmares. Yep, Denny Hamlin, he wish he would have won Brickyard. Now you're gonna really, you gotta rely on getting stage points. Not only that, but you gotta go to Richmond, which you haven't won there in a while. We all know Denny Hamlin wins at Richmond. We know all he's good, blah blah blah. But Hamlin, Big D, he's gonna have his work cut out for him. He and Erik Jones both. And then you have big names outside the cut line, really. All four of these guys. Two of them are Hendrick Motorsports cars. Jimmy Johnson, where did he come from? Show some strength in this race at Vegas over the weekend. He was climbing. It looked like it was going to be a long day for us. But the champions that they are, the seven-time champions that Knaus and Jimmy Johnson are, moved their way to the front. And then they found themselves in the top 10, I believe they got the fifth at one point. I'm not really sure. And then Jimmy Johnson found the wall. And this has been the pattern for this 48. You know, they get up there in this top 10, really over the last month and a half, maybe 2 months at that, and they fall on the wayside due to hitting the wall or having pit crew issues, pit road, pit stops, whatever it is. 48 behind the cut line. Last I checked, yep, they're behind the cut line. Chase Elliott, a lot of people, including myself, picked this guy to be in the championship four. He's got some work to do, but not as much as Erik Jones and Denny Hamlin. So you would have thought coming out of Vegas that you'd be saying that, okay, Austin Dillon, who somehow rallied back from having started in the back of the field, due to not having, I believe it was his crew chief was suspended. I think that was right. I heard that right. I thought it was car chief, but apparently crew chief got suspended for the race. So Denny Stockman made the calls at Vegas, and apparently with all the mysterious adventures that half of these playoff contenders made, finished in the top dozen there. Alex Bowman, he was stout running the high line in this one. And as far, he got the second, challenged Truex Jr. Couldn't wrestle the lead away from him. But Bowman finds himself, I believe he has the last transfer spot right now going into Richmond. He is confident he can go to Richmond and run good as well. So that 88, so Hendrick Motorsports, it's been night and day with that organization. I don't know what it is. They cannot find consistency enough with that as well. Of course, I mentioned Chase Elliott. He had a similar fate like the Harvick-Jones situation from early in the race. I believe that was stage two. Chase Elliott, McMurray, I mentioned this a few minutes ago. Chase Elliott going over the radio and saying that he might have hurt his shoulder or whatnot. And the last time I heard, it was all good to go. So I don't have any reports on that, boys and girls. But man, you would have told me that this would be a wreck fest and that Austin Dillon, Alex Bowman would be in the top 12 going into Richmond. I would have told you hell no. Apps double hell no at that. But these playoffs already, if this is going to be like this, we're all going to be in for a treat all the way down to Miami. And Richmond is a short track, and a lot of chaos can happen there also. So, Saturday night is going to be popping under lights in Virginia. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with your truly EG3. And speaking of Virginia, take a time out a moment here to acknowledge the victims, all that were a part of Hurricane Florence, Tropical Florence, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, definitely keep people over there in your thoughts and prayers for sure. There was a couple reports there, unfortunately, of some passings that I've heard this past week, especially when I was in Ohio for sure. So definitely keep thoughts and prayers to the folks over there on the coast over there as they begin the recovery from getting hit from Hurricane Florence over there. Could have been much worse, but thank goodness that, you know, at least the positive, most everyone was A-okay. Some damage involved in that. But overall, though, keep thoughts and prayers to the folks out there, which NASCAR's heading out there this weekend. We're going to take an intermission break here in a few moments. And then at some point in the second half of the podcast, Mick Rose from JC join us to talk trucks in Xfinity, and he'll have his thoughts on this crazy ass race. I mean, I don't know. Things literally hit the fan when I left. I mean, I probably missed the good stuff, but my Twitter game, the True X Nation, was holding its breath, including myself. I really thought the way that things were going there, MTJ was going to be a part of that, but he had a clean day. That's a great, good sign. Hopefully, the things to come. And oh, by the way, Richmond owes Truex and that 78 team twice now. We all know what happened last fall before the playoffs. And then this past, he should have won back in the spring. But the pit crew screwed up on that end. But definitely, you know, that being 0-4 on the short track deal, you know, this would be a perfect time, especially with the unknown, the obvious unknown of the Roval coming up next week, that first cutoff race, and we got all big names on the cut line. Woo! If it stays what it is, but we got a long way to go, ladies and gentlemen. But if this stays what it is, y'all don't know what's gonna happen. I don't even know what's gonna happen at Richmond on Saturday night. So that's the unpredictability of these playoffs. Especially, we got our whole treat of unpredictability in the last third of this race. Cars spinning on the grass. Tire trouble, which was kind of the big thing coming out of Vegas, the Goodyear tire blisters and all that, but we didn't hear really too much about that, other than Kevin Harvick complaining and whatnot. So yeah, man, lot to look forward to in this first round, and a lot of big names got some work to do. Even though there is a short distance, you have to be mistake free. I mean, the top 16, this first round, you at least got to finish in the top 15 somewhere, especially with the majority of drivers. But you have trouble like this. I said this a few weeks ago. This first round, you cannot have trouble in the first race of each round. You're basically putting yourself behind the eight ball, if you will. And that's what Eric Jones and Denny Hamlin is. And I mentioned Denny Hamlin earlier in this segment. Hamlin, this is his chance, it's his shot right here to get in it. If he does not have a good run Saturday night, and with the unpredictability of Grovel, I don't want to be the first one to say it, but he might be out. Nobody would be saying that. I had him in the Final Four due to his upcoming of speed. So, a lot to digest, but they're going to one of their tracks here, and we'll have to see what happens from there. You're listening to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Yeah, had to get that one in there. Halftime, and K-State handled UTSA in the third game of the season, and I'm going to be doing this again at some point later. And of course, that horn's going to be sounding if Truex wins at some point the rest of the way. Of course, the Falcons and the Braves right in the middle of trying to lock down the division. So that's something new to the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. K-State 41, UTSA 17. TCU had Ohio State on the ropes. And yes, this is the Big 12 portion of the podcast. College football style. Ohio State coming on strong in the fourth quarter to win that game. 40-28, Oklahoma gets past Iowa State 37-27. Oklahoma State knocks off 17th-ranked Boise State 44-21 in that one. Texas manhandles 22-ranked USC 37-14. And KU all over kick Rutgers' ass 55-14. And Duke hands Baylor its first loss of the year 40-27. And then down here, Texas Tech in a high-scoring battle over Houston, 63-49. And in West Virginia in the NC State game got canceled due to Hurricane Florence. But that is your Big 12 update there in here in Manhattan, Kansas. And a lot's been named, at least on the radio side, before we take a timeout, they're showing K-State finally got something going. You know, I'm not going to be impressed. Yes, we got our quarterback, number one quarterback, that situation finally at least situated for now. But I'm not going to say nothing until conference play, which for us starts this weekend against none other than West Virginia and Heisman nominee hopeful Will Grier. No, that's not my cousin. We're not related. I like to kind of make fun of that we're cousins and whatnot, that we have a third cousin in Will Grier, but we're not related, so well, just put that out there on the table. But I'm going to wait and see how much we do prove when we get, because this is going to be critical. I know we got Baylor and Texas, our first three conference games, so that's going to be the answer, the situation that we got here coming up down the line. So I'm not going to make the assumption of anything until we see how we play against West Virginia, and we have to go to Morgantown. That's going to be interesting with this team. All right, folks, time to take our intermission break right here on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. When we come back, Mick Rose will be on the other end, and we'll talk trucks as well as Ross Chastain, get his thoughts on the first round of a crazy playoffs. You're listening to the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. We'll be back in just a moment. Wide with EG3 is moving along on this Tuesday night. Eddie Grid III, here with the guys once again for the post-race, or I should say playoff reaction of Las Vegas' South Point 400, which was a crazy one at that. Camping World Truck Series Xfinity and Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. We are all three divisions are in the playoffs, and in the EG3 Garage, welcome in Mick Rose. What is happening, my friend?
Another exciting race weekend in the books.
it sure was, especially on Sunday. Who would have thought that the very first race of the playoffs would be as crazy as we saw out there on a Sunday? What are your initial thoughts, especially Brad Keselowski winning his third consecutive race?
Well, the entire race, I would just sum it up as nuts. You know, from the beginning to the end, it kept me, you know, and like the racing might not have been great, I do not know, because of everything that was going on. You know, it just had my attention the whole time. I wasn't really paying attention to, you know, who was battling for fifth, or I was just trying to see who was going to survive, is basically how it was playing out.
Yeah, I saw majority of the race. When I left, when I left the race, it was kind of calm a little bit. Apparently, the playoff drivers lost their minds. They got into situations that unfortunately took them out. Kevin Harvick, part of the big three, other than Martin Truex Jr., who had a clean day. Kyle Busch rallied back there to finish in the top 10. Kevin Harvick, those playoff points come in handy after his tire issues. And he was, of course, Kevin Harvick, during his post-race conference there with Marty Snyder, not happy with the tires and whatnot. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't know. I understand, you know, they're hot, they're, you know, irritated and all that. I kind of enjoy it, you know, when Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch have those are my favorite versions of them. You know, when they have their meltdown, that's my favorite version of either one of them, you know.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, definitely, that's for sure. Everyone enjoys that side where, you know, Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick, especially this year, they've been winning majority of races, but they have trouble. Oh, everyone wants to tune in to find out what they say after they have a bad day. But Penske Racing, I mentioned in the first segment, scoring Roger Penske 500 wins in a NASCAR Cup Series. That's amazing.
No, that's all series.
That's all series.
Yeah, IndyCar.
Ah, okay. I thought it was for the Cup Series. Okay, all right. So, yeah.
No, that's all series. There's like 200 of those are IndyCar wins.
That makes sense. Definitely makes sense. But
yeah,
that's got to be huge for Brad Kay, though, delivering Roger Penske his 500th win in all series. What does that mean for Brad Keselowski in a whole entire organization?
Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing, you know, because he gave Roger Penske their first NASCAR championship. He gave them, a week ago, he gave them their first Brickyard, you know, the win. So, and then the 500th win. I don't know which one's bigger.
Well, at least for right now, Keselowski's on a streak, and what this does, obviously, it puts him into the next round, and he doesn't not have to worry about the craziness of the Roval that's going to be coming up after Richmond here very shortly. All right, so another playoff contender, your guy Kyle Larson, had quite a day himself, and he had a tire go down early in the race and came back to finish in the second spot. And Kyle Larson noted before the race that, you know, Richmond's not a strong suit, and neither, well, obviously everyone knows about the Roval, but, you know, how big was it for KL to get a runner-up spot in this race?
Oh, it was big, because he was the first one to have, you know, the problem. I don't know, Blaney got into the wall a little bit early, so
I think that was Almirola. With he and Blaney apparently got into it not once but twice during the afternoon. But yeah, I think it was Almirola first, and then Kyle Larson, he had the first big problem. Yeah,
and then he was a lap down, and it pretty much, you know, when they showed the playoff grid, he went all the way to the bottom. He was the only playoff guy not on the lead lap, and it was looking pretty bad.
Yeah, for him. But luckily enough, you know, it's early in the type of car that he had. Obviously, we know the time that he can make up, especially on the high side. And when stage two, I think, when they got a quick caution, and that just changed the entire race around for those guys. So it's good.
Oh, yeah, they had a couple of horseshoe moments in the race. I mean, the first one was the flat tire.
Mm-hmm.
If it would have happened anywhere else, you know, he would have probably, you know, been like Harvick and everybody else that bounced off the wall when they lost their tire, but he suffered minimal damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, like you said, then the end of the on the start of the second stage, they took the labor round, and then there was a quick caution, so then they were able to get back off a lead lap and go from there. And then later on, because they were down a set of tires because of the short run, they stayed out and got another quick caution.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And was able to be on the then back on the same tire strategy as everyone else. So it was there was a more luck involved than skill, you know, or maybe, you know, Chad Johnson used the right strategy. I do not know, but sometimes you just need luck.
Mm-hmm, yeah. That's for sure. Three Wide with EG3 NASCAR Podcast rolls along with Mick Rose from Junction City, Kansas, is going through the playoff drivers here and where they finished. All right, so Brad Keselowski won the race. He also won stage two. Kyle Larson, what we talked about, finished second. Keselowski, by the way, leading 75 laps. Larson, 24. Mark Trex Jr. winning the first stage. Had a great car, and like I said before you came on, if those cautions don't come out, I think Martin Truex Jr. wins the race hands down. But cautions played into that. But had a great day, 96 laps, finished third. Logano finished fourth. He led 46 laps. Ryan Blaney right at the top five there. Eric Almirola finished sixth. Kyle Busch's wild day. He comes back to finish in the seventh spot. Then you go down the next playoff driver, Austin Dillon, who started in the back of the field, finished in 11th. And then you're going down here some more. Alex Bowman, he was running really good in this race. And then he had some type of issue. I can't remember. He finished, ended up 19th. Jimmy Johnson with more late issues, 22nd. Clint Bowyer finished 23rd. He was involved in one of those late cautions as well. And then, of course,
yeah, I think Alex Bowman, Jimmy Johnson, and Clint Bowyer all had their problems at the same time on one of the restarts where they all bounced off each other, curb push, and they were all cut tires. So they had to pit under green.
That's a shame for those guys. And of course, Denny Hamlin, a missed opportunity last week, they grabbed the Brickyard, was wrestled away by Keselowski. He spins in the front stretch there, gets his splitter tore up, ends up 32nd. And then you have Chase Elliott, 36th. And then down here, Kevin Harvick, 39th. And Eric Jones. Eric Jones came in here finishing, I believe, 9 of his last 11 races in the top 10, dead last. Eric Jones was one of those guys. He did not need this, especially the car that he had coming into this race.
Yeah, and Eric Jones and Chase Elliott both had problems, but neither one of them was their doing. You know, they didn't cut a tire or have a bet. You know, the guy in front of them cut a tire and collected both of them and ruined their day.
Yeah, sometimes you cannot afford those, but, you know, it's out of your hands sometimes. And Chase Elliott and, like you said, and Eric Jones, definitely victims of not their own misdoing, if you want to say that. So now, I talked about in the first segment, four drivers who are outside the cut line going into Richmond this weekend: Jimmy Johnson, Chase Elliott, Eric Jones, and Denny Hamlin now outside the cut line. And you would have told me that Austin Dillon and Alex Bowman would be in the top 12 going to Richmond, I would have told you lost your mind. But who had right now, Mick, who has the better chance to advance to the round 12?
I would say of the four that's there would be Chase Elliott. He's only, what is it, 9 points behind Alex Bowman?
I believe that's right. I think it was nine points last time I looked at it.
Yeah, like 9 points, something like that. So he has, you know, in one stage, he finishes second in the first stage, and Alex Bowman's not there. He's tied with Alex Bowman, you know, so 9 points can be made up relatively quick. But, man, Eric Jones, even with the fast car, he's like 20 points, and that's a hard hill to climb.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. And even for him, Hamlin's, I believe, was, what, 13 or 14 back? I can't really remember. So, Richmond's going to be interesting, that's for sure. And, yeah, those stage points, those are going to be really critical for all four of those guys if they want to make up some ground, especially Eric Jones going in to Richmond. Transitioning into the Cape World Truck Series race, which had its share of wildness on this past Friday night. I did not see this majority race due to being in Ohio, but when I woke up on Saturday morning, Grant Enfinger came out on top, and he is going to the round of six, probably going into this playoffs. Probably about 99.9% of us probably said Enfinger is going to not advance to the round of six, but
After week one, I thought, well, man, he's probably done, you know, after the...
Yeah, but Enfinger and that team, that 98 truck, they had to be aggressive, and credit to those guys, they're at the right place at the right time, and Brett Moffitt, unfortunate for him, could not come up with the win to seal it at the end.
Yeah, I think he ran out of fuel.
That's what I read, yeah.
Yeah, he ran out of... He was leading, and just a few laps short.
Yeah. Yeah, so Brett Moffitt runs out of gas, and then Stuart Friesen had issues, and even the run that Ben Rhodes had with the Enfinger win, Ben Rhodes and Stuart Friesen are outside looking in, heading to Talladega in a couple of weeks for the first elimination race. And if you would have told me, Mick, that Justin Haley and Grant Enfinger would advance on wins, I would have told you there was not a chance in heck that these guys would win. But, you know, Justin Haley put himself in a great position, running third in Canada, and Noah Gregson and Todd Gillen got together. Haley capitalized on that, and Enfinger capitalizes on the final restart in triple overtime there to grab a win here. It pretty much, so far in this playoffs, it's been all about taking advantage of the opportunity.
Yep, and it's right time at the right place. You know, sometimes it's just, you know, luck. That's the only way I know how to say it.
Yeah, that is for sure. And Johnny Sauter is your points leader going into Talladega, and Noah Gregson, who started on the pole for this race, is 17 back. I know the points really kind of don't matter, but you know, Noah Gregson has had an opportunity, though, here in so far in his first round, to maybe get a win, possibly. That hasn't happened. Brett Moffitt is sitting third. Of course, Justin Haley gets a pass through, so does Grant Enfinger. Matt Crafton, I believe, is on, I want to say he's on the cut line. Is that right?
Yep, he's on the cut line with Ben Rhodes and Stuart Friesen behind him.
Okay, so with with that, before I dive into my final question on the truck series, I want to take a look at the top 10 of the World of Westgate 200 last Friday night. Grant Enfinger, who started third, had a good qualifying effort, won the race. Johnny Sauter finished second. Justin Haley third, Ben Rhodes fourth, Matt Crafton is finished fifth, Mike Snyder finished sixth, and we're going to dive into Ross Chastain in a minute. Ross Chastain finished seventh. What a great weekend he had in general. Austin Theriault 8th, Austin Wayne Self 9th, Chris Eccleston finished in the top 10. What do you expect in a couple weeks at Talladega with the Truck Series as they head into the elimination race?
Matt, if you are not locked in, the only two that, you know, I don't know if they can catch, let me see, Stuart Friesen's like 40 points behind Johnny Sauter. So I think Johnny Sauter might be locked in, you know, but I guess with stage points and stuff, they can still. But them plate tracks are, you know, anything can happen.
Yep. Oh, yeah, we all know that.
And it doesn't even have to be your doing. You'll just be caught up into somebody's mess.
Nope. And like I say on this podcast all the time when we talk about plate tracks, it's one little itty-bitty mistake, and you're right there in the middle of it. So, not really easy if you're Matt Crafter or any of those guys going in to Talladega. Now transitioning a little bit to the Xfinity Series. Finally, the regular season wrapped up with Justin Allgaier winning the regular season championship, but the biggest story, though, Ross Chastain. We all said it on this podcast. Pretty much a lot of people said it on the Prethra podcast that Ross Chastain was going to get the victory lane. And Ross Chastain, he has been untouchable in that 42 machine.
Yeah, he's, you know, running it flawlessly, I would say, would be the word to use. You know, he's been perfect. Won every stage so far. Only the one incident with Harvick. Other than that, you know, it's been pretty much flawless.
Yeah, yeah. And he's won. He's 4-for-4 in stages in the course. And if not for the running with Kevin Harvick, we could have been talking about him winning two races.
Yep. Now, easily. This is my question, though, is if Ross Chastain wouldn't have had the brush up with Kevin Harvick, would this have been as big of a deal, maybe?
That's,
you know, or
that,
I don't know, because yeah. I remember last year, you know, when Jeremy Clements won at Road America in an underfunded team, it was like, hey, good job, and then it was over. You know,
mm-hmm.
So it just blew by.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. To me, I think the Kevin Harvick helped pump this up even more, which is good, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, for sure. Yeah, so, but with this, the Ross Chastain, with his duties, of course, with J.D. Motorsports, and he, between that and Ganassi, he's jumped up when the playoffs reset. Going into Richmond, which they already reset. Chastain is up there. I don't have the grid up in front of me right now, but
he is sixth.
Okay, so
he is tied with Tyler Reddick, Ross Chastain, and Daniel Hemric all have 10 bonus points, with Justin Allgaier having 39.
Woo! Yeah, so Allgaier, like I mentioned, yet winning the regular season title, and add those 15 points like you just said, make 38 plot points. Woo, that is going to go a long way to Miami. That is for sure. Unless something crazy happens, Allgaier, especially with the performance of that race team heading into the postseason, I picked him a few weeks ago. They look really strong right now for a possibility of a championship.
Yeah, I think it'll go down to the wire. I think Ross Chastain has a chance to, you know, he's racing the 42 one more time. He can, you know, advance himself one more round.
Yeah. Yeah, how about that? Yeah, this is probably this is the last ride here, at least for the 42 cars concerned, and that's a golden opportunity itself for Ross Chastain to be hungry and possibly take advantage of this opportunity even more. In a playoff situation, when at Richmond, you're guaranteed a spot in the next round that much closer to Homestead.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yep, so I think there's actually more pressure on this one to get the win than the last one. So, you know, I guess the first one, you know, getting that out of there. But if he could do it again, that would, you know, taking that Johnny Davis, you know, four car that much farther into the playoffs, that's even more better for the team, I would say.
You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 Ross Chastain, leading 180 laps en route to his first career Xfinity Series win. Justin Allgaier finishing in second, Cole Custer third, Christopher Bell finishing in the fourth spot, Elliott Sadler your top five, Ryan Preece finished sixth, Brandon Jones seventh, Ryan Truex eighth, Austin Cindric ninth, Spencer Gallagher rounding at the top 10 in the Xfinity Series. And one more note before we go over the grid for the Xfinity Series, Mick. There was no Cup guys in this race. And, of course, now that we're all in postseason mode, expect no Cup drivers in either the trucks or the Xfinity Series. How do you feel about that?
Well, to me, I'm on the flip side of that. I don't care who's in the races, really. But, you know, I don't mind the Cup guys in there. I mean, it doesn't faze me a bit. But I had looked it up. Of all of the cars that was in that race, all of the drivers that was in that race, there was a combined 22 of them that all had a Cup start. So there's quite a few of them there that, you know, have Cup experience, because 22 of them had raced in a Cup race before. So.
All right. So now the playoff grid is set. Allgaier, your top seed. Christopher Bell, second. Elliott Sadler, third. Tied there with Cole Custer. And then, like Mick mentioned here a while ago, Tyler Reddick, Ross Chastain, Daniel Hemric right there in a bundle there. Fifth, sixth, and seventh. Brandon Jones, their eighth seed. Matt Tiff, ninth. Ryan Truex, 10th, Austin Cindric, 11th, and Ryan Reed getting the final playoff spot in 12th position. So, going into Richmond, the playoff opener for the Xfinity Series guys on Friday night. And who's your dark horse going into these playoffs?
Going into these playoffs,
putting
the
on
dark
spot.
Horse. Well, I see Ryan Reed, Ryan Truex, Matt Tiff, and Brandon Jones will be my bottom four. So, man, I don't know if you can call Daniel Hemric a dark horse, though, because he was in the finals.
He was in the final four last year.
Last year.
Yep.
So I don't know. Cole Custer runs good there. If Cole Custer can make it, he won the Homestead race.
Yeah, he smoked them. Yep.
So, but he's, you know, fourth in the points right now. So, I don't know if he would be a dark horse either, because I don't know who that fourth person, you know. I figure Justin Allgaier and Christopher Bell will be it, you know, make it all the way through. And then Elliott Sadler, Cole Custer, and Daniel Hemric. I don't know who of those three are going to make up the final two. I'm going to think Elliott Sadler ain't going to make it on his final trip. So I'm going to go with Cole Custer being my dark horse.
Okay. All right. I got two. Well, I'm not going to give my first four out, but I will give two dark horses that I'm thinking about. One of them, we've been talking about him on this show episode tonight, Ross Chastain. I think he has a clear-cut opportunity here to advance himself one more time at least, to give himself an opportunity, take advantage of the opportunity, and hopefully try to make it two in a row. That will be another big story to follow. And out of those drivers that you talk about, I can't get my mind off Matt Tiff, Daniel Hemric's teammate. I think Tiff might have something to prove in these playoffs. So I'm going out on a limb here. I'm going to say that two car of RCR, Matt Tiff, is going to give it a ride here. I think Tiff's got something for the field.
Yep, he very well could have, you know.
Yeah, so I'm going to rest my eggs on the two car. But yeah, definitely, I agree with you. Allgaier, the way he's moving right now, Bell, I think they're going to be there at Homestead. Elliott Sadler, I think he's going to be determined to get there. I think at some point, I have said on this podcast all year long, Elliott Sadler, he's got to win a race. I know he's been in the top, finishes consistently in the top 10, but he has not got that win to solidify himself. And this will be a perfect time for him to maybe pull one or two wins out before he hangs it up. And I'm going to roll with Daniel Hemric. I think Hemric in that 21, he hasn't won a race either, but this cat, he's been so close over the past year and change now that he's right there on the cusp of winning. I don't know how many times we've said it on the podcast, but at some point, one of those two guys is going to have to step up their game and finally get to victory lane.
Yeah, I can't argue any of that. I mean, it's the playoffs, though. Anything can happen. You know, I thought Vegas was going to be a relatively calm place, but was I wrong.
Yeah, I bet a lot of people are wrong. Yeah, I was basically sitting in the recliner there thinking, oh, this is going to be just a normal mile and a half race, you know, laid back and enjoying the race. And next thing you know, I leave the TV set and everything goes haywire. So, yeah, man, it's a perfect example. This past weekend at Vegas, a lot of things happened, that's for sure. So, yeah, you're spot on, Mick, with that. Last question before I let you go. Cup Series, Richmond, under the lights, Saturday night. What do you think, man? What's going to happen?
Man, I
know you're putting you in a spot.
Denny Hamlin is really good on these short tracks, and I think he could possibly pull up the upset and lock himself in with Denny Hamlin getting a win.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. For some reason. I don't know why, but I just got that feeling. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's just everything was crazy, so we might as well, all right, take the guy that's, you know, and then move that whole cutoff line totally different, you know,
yep.
And make it so the Roval will be absolutely nuts.
Yeah. This is Stay Tuned TV right here in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. Definitely looking forward to this weekend with the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series. Racing, under lights, Richmond, playoff time. It's time to get it done. Mick Rose, I'm bad at this. For those, tell the people on Twitter, what's your Twitter handle?
Oh, GoDucks_Mick.
All right, you heard it here, folks. All right, Mick Rose from JC, thanks for joining me once again, and let's do this again next week. We'll see what happens at Richmond, and let's do it again next week.
All right. Talk to you next week.
All right.
Out. We'll be right back.
Rewild. EG3 is moving the train along here on this Tuesday night. Eddie Greer III. Big D back across the glass. EG3 show just got done wrapping up. Chatting with Mick from JC. Man, there's no telling what's going to happen this coming weekend as we're getting close to wrapping the post-race playoff reaction from the South Point 400 in Vegas. And your points standings, other than Brad Keselowski getting a pass through to the next round, Martin Truex Jr., your points leader by two on Kyle Busch, Harvick, Logano, Kurt Busch, Ryan Blaney, Kyle Larson, Eric Almirola, Austin Dillon, Clint Bowyer, Alex Bowman, your final transfer spot. First one out, Jimmy Johnson. Not by much, Chase Elliott, Eric Jones, Denny Hamlin. Them boys got some work to do if they are going to make the next round of the playoffs. And it's funny that, you know, me and Mick think that Denny Hamlin's going to do something. Well, you know, they've had the speed. You know, we've been saying it over and over. I feel like a broken record saying this every week on this podcast. But Denny Hamlin, this team got the speed. But, you know, they were out to lunch in Vegas. And, of course, they had that spin. And now, and for whatever reason, I think this is shot for Hamlin. Because you miss an opportunity at Richmond where you won out here before multiple times, then the Roval is a crapshoot. We all know that by now. And who knows what the hell is going to happen out in Charlotte in another week and a half or so. So, big time opportunity. And Kyle Larson pretty much summed it up when talking about trying to move to the next round. You know, Vegas, this was the opportunity for a lot of these guys to win it. You know, but Brad Keselowski, Paul Wolf, but it was probably more so Keselowski there than Paul Wolf this time around. But Keselowski getting the job done, and he doesn't have to worry about any of that stuff now. And the playoff point, and he brings it a treating point now, 11 back of Truex, though. Truex did win the opening stage of these playoffs. That was awesome. Hashtag. But, man, it's really hard to see what is going to happen. But definitely, this is a must opportunity. I probably would put it a must win because Roval, nobody's raced there before. Obviously, so, you know, yeah, it is Charlotte Motor Speedway, but it's not the mile and a half version. This is the road course version we're talking about, and all these issues that rose in the test, we have that kind of racing. Oh, it's going to be survival of the fittest, what we saw at Vegas this weekend, Big D. This is mind-blowing as it is. So, but definitely, Richmond is going to be a telltale because you can get stage points. The stage points is going to be critical. You saw what happened last year with these points, you know. Denny Hamlin had an opportunity to advance to win the race, to get to Championship 4. Did not come through. Obviously, he had his deal with Chase Elliott, well documented, but he was messing around with Chase Elliott. And then the pit crew screwed up. That put him back there with Chase Elliott, and Chase Elliott handled his business, handled the rest of it. So, you know, Denny Hamlin, you know, all this talk about he should have a championship by now and all that other stuff. Yeah, he should have a championship, but he cannot close the deal. And for whatever reason, you know, didn't close the deal at Brickyard, obviously. Hard due to quote-unquote hard racing. You know, Keselowski wanted it more, and Hamlin's won every year since he's been in the Cup Series. That's on the line also, so I think a lot of attention is going to be on him. Chase Elliott, a lot of folks, again, like I said on top of the podcast, you know, a lot of folks picked him, including myself included in that, to be in the Final Four at Homestead. And, you know, Jimmy Johnson showed strength for the first time, probably all year long in Mount Halves. That 48 showed very, very improvement. But again, had issues late, cost him. And then, of course, Eric Jones, I thought he had a car to beat due to looking at the practice sheets. I didn't pay attention to practice. I looked at while I was in Ohio. Well, I'm going to get to that here after the fact. But he looked very good, and I thought he was going to be the man to beat. But apparently, like I said earlier, he dropped like a rock and ran into trouble there unfortunately, when Harvick had his tire go down. So, a lot of intriguing stories going into a short weekend, really, with the Xfinity Series race on Friday night and the Cup Series on Saturday night. And speaking of Ohio here, this is the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Ohio, the race was turned out to be fantastic. It started out really cool early in the first part of the race, really, I would probably say two-thirds in, and then that sun, man, whew. I mean, yes, I'm used to the heat and all that other stuff, but, man, I wouldn't throw a complaint there, but for majority of the runners out there, you know, it was hot. It was a hot one, that was for sure, and ended up coming home inside the top 100 runners out of some 3,000 contenders, runners, was unbelievable. So that was great. Was a little sore for a couple of days, but for the first time in quite a while, I feel pretty good now. So working the soreness out. So definitely, it was quite the experience. The road trip with two of the guys I was with. One of them was my friend, and of course met his cousin, Sean, cousin Matthew. Get a shout out here on the podcast. You know, we shot the road trip all the way through, didn't stop. Left here, left the house around 10-ish on Friday, Thursday night. Didn't get to the state of Ohio until 9 o'clock Eastern time. Those guys had a longer trip than I had because they had to come from Oklahoma to do that. So, but we drove there and drove all the way back to our destinations right after race. Right after race, get some great food at Skyline Chili up there in Ohio. That was some good food. That's probably up to date the best post-race food I can eat. Probably it's up top. I can go back up there again and eat some more. But definitely that was a good treat. And we drove back, listened to the K-State game, and Sean was following the Missouri game there. So definitely a great experience. And we're talking about doing it again and possibly doing a different race and the full marathon that we're talking about. And there's been a lot of chatter about me specifically doing that this year. You know, people telling me to do a full. I'm like, I don't think I'm ready for that yet. But definitely, you know, thinking about, you know, it could be, definitely could be, it's going to be next year that I'll do that. But I don't know where yet. But definitely for sure, you know, that it takes a lot of time to do that kind of stuff. Train for full. But, you know, given, you know, these two marathons and whatnot, and then the determination and then the times that I put down, unbelievable times, you know, I've cracked the 130 mark. I'm in the 130s now, so compared to the first time I ran a 141, which was pretty damn good the first time around, and then knocking it down a couple more minutes, so definitely, you know, been running on the right Patterson Air Force Base where Bubba Wallace was a day before I got there. So, you know, the whole event was very great. You know, the pageantry of it, you know, contestants running for people that have passed away, seeing that, and man, goodness, that was a fun experience. That we're thinking about doing again and possibly challenge ourselves to do a full next year. So, yeah, man, eyes open, that's for sure. So I wanted to give you a heads up, give you a little summary of that. But, yeah, awesome, awesome mini trip there, riding 10 hours from here to Dayton and getting on the base, which was big. So the event was held on base, and the run was basically, that base was huge. That was my first time on that base, the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base out there. Man, that was big. That was great to see that. But yeah, man, those last couple miles, that was tough there, but toughed it out there and got to the finish line with all those airplanes there at the finish. You had to be there to see it, man. They had that set up good, especially on the back end of the finish line, some scene right there, ladies and gentlemen. So able to finish there in the top 100, great accomplishment, and we'll see what happens from there. But I believe my next race is next month in KC weekend. That's where the second cutoff race is in Kansas City, obviously. Looking forward to that. So and I could be doing a double-double here. So I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm already on the books for Des Moines, Iowa, the same day as the race. I'm trying to figure that out. So the KC race is going to be on Saturday. So trying to do I-35 challenge. So that's going to be a challenge in itself to get there. Well, the race is going to start an hour early than the KC race. It's going to start at 8. So the difference is I'm going to have to wait around for people to get finished. So like I did this weekend. So I'll probably hang out for a little bit and then get on my way. So definitely excited for the weekend, for that entire week, really, of KC Week. The road to Kansas Speedway begins after the Roval here on a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Cannot wait for that. Better get your ears ready for this, folks. Do it one more time. Oh, that no. There it is. The Falcons get on the winning column, knocking off the Panthers this past weekend in the NFL, 31-24. Matt Ryan doing it with his arm and his legs, apparently, scoring 2 touchdowns with his legs and throwing a couple with the arm. Falcons go to 1-1 on the year, and the Fitz magic, or whatever you want to say it, Jameis Winston, your job's in trouble, son. I tell you that right now. And I don't think he's going to get that job back. I don't think he ain't done anything. Ryan Fitzpatrick dismantles the Philadelphia Eagles, which leads to the Eagles getting Carson Wentz back. So so there is that. And then, of course, there's New Orleans Saints edge out the Cleveland Browns. They were trailing the majority of the entire game, and somehow the Browns cough up another one. Cleveland Browns. Oh, they went Cleveland Browns again. Missed field goal to win it in regulation, I believe. And the New Orleans Saints escape at home on the Cleveland Browns. And guess what our next opponent is? Yep. Hey, we. New Orleans Saints. Oh, it's going to be interesting, and the injuries on our side continue to pile up as well. So, see what happens there. But the Saints come back to Mercedes-Benz this upcoming week for another division matchup, a big one at that as well. So, a lot going on between sports. Of course, the Braves are currently playing right now. So, as soon as I wrap up this up, going to sit down, eat some dinner, and watch the remainder of the Braves-Cardinals games. Before I do that, turn our attention to what's going down, and I'll do this again later on this week. Xfinity Series playoffs begin with the Go Bowling 250 on NBCSN Friday night on the 21st, 7:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 Central for listening states of Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas. MRN has coverage, and then round 2 of the round of 16, Federated Auto Parts 400, NBCSN has it, same time as the Xfinity Series, 7:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 Central Time, ladies and gentlemen. Who knows what's going to happen? And of course, I, real quick, have my EG3 stickers. I'm going to do that right now. And, of course, I will save my 3-Wide moment for later on this week from Vegas. I had it right here for a moment. There it is. And before I do that real quick, Scott Dixon en route to championship number 6. Alexander Rossi, front wing problems. Easily, Dixon cruises to championship number 6 in the IndyCar Series. EG3 helmet stickers, Grant Enbinger, Austin Terrio with a top 10 finish, and 1-2 EG3 alumni Jennifer Jo Cobb, 12th place finish for her. Great job in Vegas on Friday night. EG3 helmet stickers. And then Ross Chastain, Justin Allgaier in the Xfinity Series, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney, EG3 helmet stickers, of the week. Let's just wrap it right. Go down the line once again. Enbinger, Terrio, Cobb, Chastain, Allgaier, Keselowski, Logano, and Blaney. And oh, by the way, those last three are Penske drivers, of course. And thank you, Mick, for correcting me. I said 500 Cup Series. I don't know. I'm pretty sure. I thought it was, as long as Roger Penske has been in the sport, I thought it would be that long. But yeah, definitely, it does make sense now, especially with the success that he's had in the IndyCar Series. Even though Joseph Newgarden came up short in this year's championship, belonged to Scott Dixon. But in this case here, EG3 helmet stickers belong to all three Penske drivers, including Austin Terrio, Grant Enbinger's big win the other night, Jennifer Jo Cobb, Justin Allgaier, and Ross Chastain. Man, what a show, folks. That, ladies and gentlemen, is going to wrap things up again for the post-playoff reaction from Vegas, South Point 400. That is going to wrap things up tonight on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Thank you to Big D, Cross the Glass. Thanks to shout out to Mick Rose for joining us once again for the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. I'm EG3, Eddie Greer III. Thank you for tuning in to tonight's playoff reaction from Vegas, boys and girls. We can't predict what's going to happen next at Richmond. We will be back. The next time I'll be talking to you will be possibly on Friday night, getting you set for the Xfinity Series, or probably earlier than that. We don't know, but we'll definitely be back later on this week, getting you hyped up for Richmond. Once again, congratulations to Grant Enbinger, Ross Chastain, Brad Keselowski, your big winners from Vegas. You have been listening to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. We'll catch you on the flip side. But for now, we're closing the garage. And you know how we do it on the show. We are out. We'll talk to you next time, y'all. Oh, Big D, just remind me. Yes, I better get this in real quick. Follow me at 3Y_EG3. My Twitter handle at 3Y_FastEddie. And you can listen to the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. Y'all know where to find us. Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and CastBox, and many more. Y'all know where to find us. EG3, we are rolling out. Peace.